you ever felt the Father's love as He holds you in His arms? When you start to say, I'm sorry, He says you've done nothing wrong. Have you failed to meet the standards you thought you should attain? Only to hear Him call your name. He's saying, you are loved beyond your failures. You are loved beyond your past. The hope that you've imagined is now reality at last. You are loved with your condition. You are loved with no remorse. The scars of your forgiveness are engraved upon the Lord. You are loved with your condition. You are loved with no remorse. The scars of your forgiveness are engraved upon the Lord. You are loved. Have you seen your life be torn apart by things you could not help, until you finally reach the point you can only blame yourself? Have you laid your head to sleep and think you'll always be alone? Then waken to His voice. He's calling you home.
You are loved beyond your failures. You are loved beyond your past. The hope that you've imagined is now reality at last. You are loved with no conditions. You are loved with no remorse. The scars of your forgiveness are engraved upon the Lord. You are loved.
You believe that tonight?
Have you seen your life be torn apart by things you could not help, till you finally reach the point where you can only blame yourself? Have you laid your head to sleep and think you'll always be alone? Then waken to His voice. He's calling you home.
You are loved beyond your failures. You are loved beyond your past. The hope that you've imagined is now reality at last. You are loved with no conditions. You are loved with no remorse. The scars of your forgiveness are engraved upon the Lord. You are loved beyond your failures. You are loved beyond your past. The hope that you've imagined is now reality at last. You are loved with no condition. You are loved with no remorse. The scars of your forgiveness are engraved upon the Lord. You are loved.
Well, it's good to be back in the promised land. You know, you never realize how much, you love home until you leave it, right? You know, you never know how good a place is until you go somewhere else, right? And I'm thankful to be here, thankful for the presence of the Lord. We felt already. How many of you are ready to receive something from the Lord? Amen. You ready to receive? You believe God's going to move tonight? God's given me something I want to share with you tonight. You ready to receive it? You ready to receive what the Lord has for us tonight? You ready? You ready? You ready? You ready to receive? Who's ready to receive tonight? Who's ready to receive? Who's ready to receive something tonight? Who's ready? Hey. Who's ready to receive something tonight from the Lord? Amen. We a lot of times say we're ready to receive. But a lot of times when action comes, we got something to give. We don't move. Are you ready to receive tonight? 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 Are you ready to receive? Nobody's ready to receive. I'm getting, there you go. There you go. Are you ready to receive tonight? It's a simple point, but a lot of times God is moving. God's the presence of God is here, and we sit just like we did. God's gonna give us something, and it's far better than $5, far better than $10. It's for your soul. It's eternal, and we just sit there and I'm not gonna get it. He's not serious. He's not really gonna get. God loves you. I said God loves you, and He wants to give you some things. God's got some things to give you if you're ready to receive it. But if you're not, you'll never. Right, Michael, he saw me reach for that wallet, he jumped, right? Are you ready to receive tonight? Are you ready to receive tonight? Are you ready to receive tonight from the Lord? I don't think y'all are here tonight. Are you ready to receive tonight from the Lord? Are you ready to receive? That was pretty cold, wasn't it? God wants to give you something tonight. I said God wants to give you something tonight. And the good thing about God is he's not limited like I am with finances. He's not limited. He could give each and every one of you all that you need. God can give you what you need in your soul if you're ready to receive. So I'm asking, are you ready to receive from the Lord tonight? Are you ready? Yes. Amen. Amen. Turn with me to your Bibles. We still bring our Bible to church? We still believe in that? Amen. Turn with me to the book of 1 Chronicles. It's after Genesis, and it's in between there and Ezekiel. It's right in there. 1 Chronicles, chapter number 13. Hallelujah. If you'd stand for the reading of the Word of God tonight, I thank you. I appreciate it. Someone asked me tonight, how long are you going to preach? And I said, well, last time I preached for only an hour and a half or 2 hours. And they ended up, no, I'm not going to preach that long. I'm not planning on preaching long. But I do have a word from God for you tonight. And I want you to receive it. I want you to receive. 1 Chronicles chapter number 13. You there? Say amen. 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 Bible says this. Verse 1. And David counseled with the captains of thousands and hundreds and with every leader. And David said unto all the congregation of Israel, if it seem good unto you, and that it be of the Lord our God, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere that are left in the land of Israel, and with them also to the priests and Levites which are in the cities and suburbs, that they may gather themselves unto us. And let us bring again the ark of our God to us, for we inquired not of it in the days of Saul's. And all the congregation said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. Verse 7 says, and they carried the ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab. And Uzzah and Ahio, I like that word, Ahio, I like that word, it's pretty close to Ohio, right? About shouted when I read that earlier. Whew. Drave the cart. And David and all Israel played before God with all their might and with the singing and with harps and with the psaltery and with the timbrel and with the cymbal and with the trumpets. They're having a time. And when they came into the threshold of Shidron, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him because he put his hand to the ark. And there he died before the Lord. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. Wherefore that place is called Perez Uzzah unto this day. And David was afraid of God that day, saying, "How shall I bring the ark of God home to me?" So David brought not the ark home to himself to the city of David, but carried it aside to the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months. And the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. God, how we thank you for your presence that we felt this far, God. How you've moved and touched, Lord. We know, Lord, that you're in this place, God. Lord, I pray that you would move as only you can now as we look to your word, God. You've spoken to my heart, God. I believe you have a word for this people right here, these young people tonight, God. And I pray you help us to be ready to receive what you'd have for us, God. You'd move, Father, in these altars, God. Speak to our hearts. Lord, we'll thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Thank you for standing. Hallelujah. I want to preach to you for a few minutes, the Lord being my helper. Not an hour and 30 minutes, but just a few minutes. I want to preach to you on Obed-Edom's obsession. Obed-Edom's obsession. Obed-Edom. Say Obed-Edom. Turn to your neighbor and say Obed-Edom. 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 That's kind of a mouthful, isn't it? Obed-Edom's obsession. From the very beginning of time, God has desired to have a relationship with man. God has desired to commune with man. From the very beginning of time, God desired that. And when God created man there in the garden, the Bible says that he walked with Adam in the cool of the day. He desired to have a relationship with man from the very beginning of time. And we find there that Noah, the Bible says, he walked with God. And God desires to have a relationship with you. Not just something that we feel at youth camp or at youth rallies or at special times. A revival, but God desires to have a relationship with you. That is God's desire. He loves you with an everlasting love. He died for you, and he wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to commune with you, to know with you. God has always sought for a relationship with his most precious creation. That's you and I. God has desired to have that relationship. Here tonight we have, look at here, Luke. Going to represent the presence of God tonight. You know, I'm thinking, Luke told me as he walked in, he said he hit a deer about 100 yards or so on the way down here. He hit a deer. Aren't you thankful for the protection of God? Could have been, I might not have had a Jesus tonight. Amen. So, oh, what a thought to think that the Creator, the one who created all this world, the ends of the world, the universe, that God would desire to have a relationship with you. He desired to have a relationship. He wants to know you. He wants to commune with you, and he desires that from each and every one of us. He's no respecter of persons. You know, as young people, sometimes we think, well, yeah, God can have a relationship with the pastor, you know. God wants to have a relationship with those who are older. God wants to have a relationship with those who seem spiritual, but no, God wants to have a relationship. He wants to know you and you to know him and to dwell in that relationship. You, I'm not talking about, look at your neighbor and say, I'm not talking about you. I'm not talking about, he's talking about me. You, God wants to have a relationship with you. So I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about church. I'm talking about a relationship, knowing the Lord. So tonight I want to preach on Obed-Edom's obsession. Now there's three groups of people here in this text, and I want you to look at all three of them here. There's the first group is the Abinadabs. Abinadab. Say Abinadab. Hit your neighbor and say, wake up. Say Abinadab. Abinadab. And Abinadab, he had some problems. See, Abinadab, the ark was stolen. The presence of God. The ark represented the presence of God, and it had been stolen by the Philistines. The Philistines in the days of Eli, the priest, they had come and they had stolen the presence of God. They thought that if they stole the ark, that they would have the power, that they would have the might that the Israelites had. And so their plan was they'd go in and take the ark, and then they'd have the presence of God. They'd have the power of God, but that didn't work. And so they got rid of it because the presence of God had turned on them, and now they're having all these problems and diseases, and all these things are happening now. And so they get rid of it and they give it to Abinadab. And the Bible says that the ark of God, the presence of God, had sat in Abinadab's house for 20 years. Anybody here 20 years old? 20 years old? 20 years. All your life, the ark of God had sat in Abinadab's house. And we never read of anything that happened. We don't read of a blessing. We don't read of anything good. We don't know of anything that happened while it was in Abinadab's house. It just sat there. It was there. It was like your Christmas tree with ornaments all over. You know, it just sits there. You know, it doesn't do much. It just sits there. And that's all that the presence of God was to Abinadab. It just sat there. And so Abinadab, his problem was apathy. His problem was that it was no big deal, right? And if we're not careful, we've grown up, many of us, in the house of God. Thank God we've had parents who raised us in the house of God. But if we're not careful, young people, we'll no longer desire that relationship with God. We'll become apathetic to it. Our Bibles will mean nothing to us. It's just another book. Prayer time, it's not important. It doesn't mean anything to us. If we're not careful, we'll have a church. It's just another function. It's like a softball. Or it's like an activity like going to Walmart. That's all it is, because we've become apathetic to the presence of God. And if we're not careful, it'll happen to us. And that's what happened to Abinadab. He got so used to having the presence of God around, he thought he'd always be there. And so my helpers for Abinadab, where you at, Abinadabs? Abinadabs, they represent a group. Where are my Abinadabs at? Come on, Abinadabs. Abinadab, aren't these two fine looking people? They're Abinadabs. I believe that we, if we're not careful, will have apathy towards the presence of God. The first thing we got here is we got Abinadab, and what's your name?
Too cool.
Man, you look too cool. Too cool. Man, you're looking sharp. Look at that. Man, he's got a suit on. Man, he got it over his shoulder. You're too cool, aren't you? Well, you know, the presence of God is here tonight, Abinadab. And God wants to move in your life. You going to let him? You going to move? Do you care? He's apathetic. Presence of God is here. And then we got Miss Texty over here. What's going on, Miss Texty? Yeah, hi, how you doing? Did you know the presence of God is right here? Presence of God, God's trying to move. Hey, too busy, too busy. God's trying to talk to you. God's trying to move in your life. Hey, too cool. Hey, look right over there. See, hey, can you do it? Look right there. Look, the presence of God. Go with him. Follow him. Do what he asked you to do. But no, we're too busy, or we're too cool, man. We don't want to mess with that stuff. That's for older people, or that's for those weird people. But I want you to know tonight that if we're not careful, we can become apathetic. And that's what Abinadab's problem was. It was just too busy. He didn't bother with having the presence of God. It was right in his house. It was right at his fingertips, but he didn't ever do anything with it. And that's the same thing with many of you here tonight. God has moved on your behalf many times before. You felt the presence of God. Even tonight, you felt a twinge of the presence of God again. It's been a long time, but you felt it again as we begin to pray and as we begin to sing. But what are you going to do with the presence of God? Are you going to do anything with it? Are you going to become apathetic and just sit there and say, I'm not going to go. I'm not going to follow God. I'm not going to get in his presence. Man, I'm cool. Huh? I want you to know tonight that God desires to have a relationship with you. But if you don't make an effort, it's not going. God ain't going to force you. God isn't going to come down and strike you with a bolt of lightning and say, serve me. No, God has given you a choice. And because he loves you, he wants you to choose him. But if you're apathetic, you're not going to do it. You're just going to sit there and, I'm too busy. I got too many things to do to pray. I ain't got time to read the word of God. I want you to know tonight, God desires to have a relationship. Don't be apathetic towards it. God loves you. God loves you, and he wants to have a relationship with you, but we're too apathetic. We're not concerned about it. It means little or nothing, but God loves you. You've been raised around it all your life. You know how to raise your hands. You know how to sing the songs. You don't need a hymnal. You got to memorize. You know how to have the presence of God. You know how to come down to the altar and pray for 5 minutes to make it look like you're still spiritual and get up and nothing's changed in your life because you don't have a relationship. It a relationship. Don't be apathetic. God desires to know you. God desires to have a relationship with you. I'm here to tell you that I haven't arrived yet. I want a deeper relationship with God. I want more of God than what I've got now. But if I'm not careful, I'll think that maybe I've arrived, or maybe that I've got to the spiritual plateau where I don't need any more of God, or I get too busy or too concerned with things of this life. Don't become apathetic. Strive for God. If you have a desire for God the size of a thimble, He'll fill that desire. If you have a desire for God the size of a bucket, He'll fill that. If you have a desire of God the size of a gallon bucket, He'll fill that. If you have a desire for God the size of a 5-gallon bucket, He'll fill that. And if you have a desire for God so big, God will fill to your desire. Whatever you want, God will fill that desire. If you want. Abinadab's, his apathy. They said that, and they carried the ark of God and the new cart out of the house of Abinadab. You think that it's always going to be accessible to have in the presence of God? You think that the presence of God is always going to be there if you keep ignoring it? There's going to come a day when the presence of God is going to leave, just like it did Abinadab. There came a day, it took 20 years, but there came a time when the presence of God left Abinadab's house. And tonight, I tell you, while the presence of God is here, while the touch of God is here, while you're young and while God can mold you and make you, let God have His way in your life. Let God use you for His glory. Let God touch you once again. I know you know it. I know you've been around church. I know what I'm preaching is not new. I know you've heard it before. But tonight, if you would shake off those chains of apathy and say, hey, I've got to get a hold of God. It's been too long since I felt the presence of God. It's been way too long since I've had that relationship like I need it. Oh God, help me, help you, help us shake those chains of apathy. That was Abinadab's downfall. And then there's another group. It was David's. The group of David's. Where are my David's at? Where you at, David's? The group of David's. David's here, and he desires the presence of God, right? He's searching after the presence of God. They want the presence of God, but there's a problem. There's a problem with David. He doesn't go about it the right way. He doesn't do it right. He desires, he wants it. And I believe this is where a lot of you young people are tonight. You want the presence of God. If I were to stick this mic into your face and ask you to say, do you want God to move in your life? Do you want the presence of God? You would say, yes. You would nod your head and say yes. But the problem was that David had some things that were hindering him from obtaining the presence of God. There were some roadblocks in the way. Where are my roadblocks at? Where are my roadblocks at? Here it was. David's desiring the presence of God. My David group, they're wanting the presence of God. They're seeking after it. They're wanting God's presence. They're wanting God to move. But there's a problem. There's some things in the way. David had some problems because the first thing he had was disobedience. He didn't obey what God told him to do. What he was supposed to do, he didn't do. He disobeyed. And if we're not careful, I don't care what your desire is. I don't care how big your desire is for God. If you disobey, it nullifies it. It nullifies it if you're not living according to what God would have you to live. If you're not being obedient to God, you can have all the desire you want, but you'll never go to get the presence of God. You see, in the text, the Bible tells us they were shouting and singing, and they were worshiping. They were so excited they were going to get the presence of God. You can shout and not be obedient. I said you can shout and not be obedient. You can raise your hand and not be. What's important is obedience. Obedience to God. That's the most important thing, is obedience. And so they're trying. They desire. They have a good desire. They have a good desire, but they have the wrong thing. They have disobedience in their life. Be obedient to God. Be obedient to the rulers. Oh, whoa. You going to go there, Tim? Yeah. Be obedient to your pastor. Be obedient to your mom and dad, those that God has placed above you, because you're never going to get God's blessing as long as you're disobedient. As long as you're disobedient. Another problem was they had carnal peers.
The Bible says that David sought for the different people. He sought for different ones to give him advice. And they said, yeah, go, let's do it, let's do it. Let's get the presence of God. But they weren't giving him the right advice. They weren't telling him what the right way to do it. They said, yeah, let's just go do it. Woo-hoo. Right? Let's all go do it. But they didn't have God. They didn't have the presence of God. And so, carnal peers, you got some friends who are leading down the wrong path. Don't say, hey, I don't want you to hinder me from getting a hold of the presence of God. Don't let carnal peers hinder you from obeying God, from getting into the presence of God, because there's going to be some friends that you're going to have to get rid of if you're going to experience the presence of God. If you got carnal peers, they're going to hinder you from the presence of God. And tonight, my prayer is that God, that there would become a hunger stirred up in your heart for receiving the presence of God, a relationship. This is a relationship, something that is going to be more than just this night. It's going to be more than just a day or a week. It's going to be a relationship with God. So we have the Abinadabs. They're apathetic. They're not concerned. They're just too cool and too busy. They're not concerned about him. Abinadab, he's just not concerned. And then we've got the David group, and they got a good desire. They want the presence of God. They desire the presence of God, but they got some problems. They're not being obedient. They're not doing all that God would have them to do. So they can't receive the presence of God either. There's some things blocking them. Now, there's a third person in this verse, this text, that I want you to look at. And the third person was Obed-Edom. I've been preaching tonight about Obed-Edom's obsession. See, Obed-Edom, after David had failed and realized that Uzzah had died and he realized he had done it wrong, he said, I gotta put the ark. And so he put the ark in the house of Obed-Edom. Obed-Edom was there and he put it in the house of Obed-Edom. And Obed-Edom, he welcomely receives him. The Bible says that everything was blessed. His family, his life was blessed because, hey, if you get God in your life, if you get the presence of God in your life, your life is going to be blessed. God's going to bless you. And so Obed-Edom, he's blessed. And he's there in the house of God. And so he's there for 3 months. For 3 months, he dwells there with the presence of God in his house. But then there comes a day when David figures out what he done wrong, and he takes it and he gets it back. And Obed-Edom, you know, I'm sure he was distressed and upset at the fact that the ark of God was gone. And so, but what happened was that David said, I need some people who will be doorkeepers. Turn to your neighbor and say, doorkeeper. Doorkeeper. I need some people who will be doorkeepers. And Obed-Edom said, oh, wait. Hey, pick me. Obed-Edom said, I'll be a doorkeeper. Obed-Edom was obsessed with the presence of God. He wanted the presence of God so much that he would follow after it. He would go after the presence of God wherever it went. And so he became a doorkeeper in the house of God. He followed God wherever he went. And this night, tonight, God desires for you to be Obed-Edom's, to desire the presence of God. God, I'll do whatever you want. I'll surrender whatever you want. Whatever you'd have me to do, I want to be pleased. I want to know your presence. I want to have a relationship with you. And so there were some Obed-Edoms who said, I want the presence of God. I don't care about anything else. All I want is the presence of God. I've got to have the presence of God. There were some Obed-Edoms who would follow God wherever he went. He said, I'll be a doorkeeper. I'll do whatever you want. Just I want to be in your presence. I want to have a relationship with you. And tonight, that's God's plea to you. He loves you. I said he loves you, and he wants to have a relationship with you. Will you let him? Will you be an Obed-Edom? Say, God, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get in your presence. God, I'm going to do whatever it takes to feel your touch, because I've got to have you. I'm obsessed with it. I've got to have it more than anything else in this world, more than the newest video game, more than in sports or fashion or any of these things. I've got to have your presence. Is there an Obed-Edom in the house? Is there an Obed-Edom in the house that would begin to say, I want the presence of God in my life? I want to feel God. I want to have a relationship with him. I want to know him. Is there an Obed-Edom in the house? Is there an Obed-Edom? I said, is there an Obed-Edom that'll do whatever it takes to have the presence of God? God, I'm going to get rid of some things that are hindering me from the presence of God. God, I'm not going to be apathetic. I may have been a little bit, but I'm going to become intense, obsessed with obtaining the presence of God. Oh, God. Saints, will you pray? I believe tonight that there are some that you're apathetic. You haven't cared much. You haven't cared much. But God wants to change that. God wants to move in your life and help you tonight. There's some of you that you have a good desire, like David. You want the presence of God to move in your life. But there's some things that are hindering you. I said there's some things that are hindering you, young people. And if you don't get them out of your life, you'll never obtain the presence of God. But I believe that there are some that you got those things in your life. You've been a David group. But you say, I'm going to get them out. And I'm going to become an Obed-Edom. I'm going to find the presence of God. I'm going to do whatever it takes. And I'm going to seek God and worship Him and have a relationship with Him. The Word of God isn't just going to be a book anymore. It ain't going to be just one of those books. It's going to be a living, breathing Word of God. I'm going to pray. I'm going to seek His face because I want His presence to stand all over the house. Oh, Lamb of God, I've tried my best to preach what You laid on my heart. I know this is what You'd have me to preach, God. And Lord, I pray that in this altar right now, God, that You would begin to move upon some Abinadabs who've been apathetic, God. Help them, Lord. Touch them one more time. Lord, move upon some Davids to get some things right. And God, help us all to be Abinadabs. Lord, help all of us to be Abinadabs. If you're here tonight, and you want the presence of God, you want that relationship, why don't you come and stand right here? I want you to stand. All the young people that would, I want you to come and stand. If you're going to be an Obed-Edom, if you're going to be obsessed about the presence of God, I want you to stand, man. And don't play games here tonight. If you really want the presence of God, if you don't, that's between you and God. But if you really do want the presence of God to move in your life, I want you to step out right now. I want you to come to this altar and begin to seek the face of God. God, touch Noah right now, God. He's calling out to You, God. Oh, where are the Obed-Edoms? I said, where are the Obed-Edoms? Oh, God. Yeah, come on, girls. Pour your heart to God. Oh, come on, boy, young men. Oh, I want to be an Obed-Edom. I want to know You. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Some parents that would, let's come. Get behind these young people. Youth pastor, come. Pray with your young people. God, I want to be an Obed-Edom. I want to know You, have a relationship with You. God, I want to experience. I've felt the touch of God before, God. But I need to feel it again.
Longing for Your hand to guide me to.
Pray.
A place where You
pray. Oh, God.
Can cleanse me with
it. Don't matter where you've been.
Baptize me.
What you've done.
Again,
you get in the presence of God. God will help you. I said, God will help you. Oh, come on. Where's an Obed-Edom? I believe there's some Obed-Edoms in the house tonight. I believe there's some Obed-Edoms.
Longing for Your hand to guide me to.
Hungry for the presence of God.
A place where You.
There's some little kids who are getting a hold of it. There's some little kids who are getting a hold of it. Oh, how about a young youth? How about getting a hold of it? Oh, God, don't let me be apathetic.
The presence. Oh.